Grassroot News as we celebrate the revolutionary music of Fight the Power. Welcome to the Terror Dome, Public Enemy. November 14th from 10 p.m. to midnight, we're going to focus on Public Enemy. Why? Because we should. So join me. Let's fight the power as we chronicle and profile Public Enemy. November 14th from 10 to midnight.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the first CMJ College Day on Tour, Saturday, November 7th at Holocene in Portland. College Day aims to fill a day with great programming and speakers from and related to college and non-commercial radio, allowing both new and experienced voices from the radio world to talk about the issues that matter most to them. At this all-ages event, there will be live music, innovative workshops, presentations, and interviews with key members of the music and radio world from the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Again, that's College Day on Tour, Saturday, November 7th at Holocene, 1001 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
This is Taria Autry. You are tuned in to Poetic License. You know, it's an exciting evening for me to be in the studio live tonight with Red Ray Frazier. We are going to bring you some beautiful music. His new CD is coming out. I'm excited. I've been traveling, so I haven't actually been in the studio for, several months. It's been 3 months, I think, since I've been in the studio. So it's exciting to be back. Portland, I'm here. You should, like, get a shout out, you know, holla. I'm only here until the holidays, and I'd love to see the people out there who I love. So it's good to be back here, and it's great to be back here with my fabulous sound guy, Liam. Amazing. I never give him his props, but he has been holding it down since day one of Poetic License. We're here the first Monday of every month, and we're so glad that you you are listening. And in the studio with me right now, I have Red Ray Frazier.
Hey. Welcome back to the Rose City.
Hey, you know, Thorn City, Rose City, you know, potatoes, half empty, half full. No, it was a beautiful day today in Portland. I can't even complain. Everywhere I go, I run into people. And, you know, it occurred to me, who would I want to have on my show since I'm back in town? And Red Ray Frazier's got a brand new CD coming out.
Ta-da.
And so I thought, what better way to like welcome myself back to town is to do it with a fabulous guest. So, Red Ray, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and then I want to play some music.
All right.
If that's all right with you. So, the album is called Blood in the Water.
It is.
Tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's been several years since my first solo release, and with that, I found the longer you wait for to follow something up like that, the more nerves develop, and I started to feel like, you know, there was a sense of vulnerability, and there was definitely something to try and fight through. But in a sense, there was blood in the water, and I had to kind of get it together to make it back to shore.
That's beautiful, beautifully said. And, you know, that is what I would expect, having heard your fantastic lyrics as well. Thank you for saying a little more about that, because I definitely, that caught my attention when I saw the title. I was like, ooh. And this idea of being, you know, an artist, I think a lot of times as artists, people see us on the stage when, you know, we're in the glory of the light that is the stage and our...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they see you in this magnificent light when, it takes every ounce of courage and strength to bring yourself to present it to people. You know, you're exposing yourself in a way that most people don't. And it's a victory when you get to perform, but all the things leading up to it, it takes a lot of strength, courage, practice. You spend probably more time working on your craft than most people do, studying for whatever it is that they're trying to obtain in life. I'm glad this is definitely a victory. I'm proud of this record. I'm proud of this moment. I'm proud of being here chatting with you.
Oh, thanks, Red Ray. I'm happy to have you here. And it's, you know, I love watching people progress in their art and do their thing. And, you know, that it's so true, that being vulnerable. There's so much that we're actually giving of ourselves to an audience, and you're, how will people accept it? How will your family accept it? How will friends? How will the people that don't know you? It's a lot to put pieces of yourself in the art and share them with the world.
Absolutely.
But I'm so glad you're doing it.
Me too.
And so we have the CD here. And
yes.
So while we're queuing up a song, do we want to start with the title track? Or?
Yeah, why don't we start with the title track?
Okay, so while we're queuing up the title track, Blood in the Water, on Red Ray Frazier's CD, there's something I was going to ask you. And it just totally, I got distracted because I was looking at Liam. We're going to play the title track. Oh, and I was going to tell you the dates, because other people might want to get their hands on this CD when they hear it. And you're doing shows.
I am doing shows. It's available now. We had the digital release September 25th. And... We celebrated the physical release on October 15th over at Music Millennium. So we still have the vinyl that we're waiting for. But the celebration of the entire project will be the 13th of November at Secret Society Ballroom.
Okay, so if I go to the Secret Society Ballroom on November 13th...
That's correct.
I'll be able to get it... Vinyl? Is that what I mean? Maybe.
I'm hoping.
Wait. I'm sorry. I'm not. This is how rumors get started.
No.
I'm not trying to be that person.
I was spreading that rumor until it got to this point, and I'm realizing, wow, the vinyl might not actually be ready. But, you know, that's kind of the way that goes.
Yeah, but you're going to be able to get the music. You can actually get the music digitally now.
You can get the CD. You can get it digitally, and
you should go do that.
Yes, you should.
You should go do that because it's beautiful. And now we're going to play "Blood in the Water," the title track. Listening to "Blood in the Water," the title track off the album that has recently been released by Red Ray Frazier. It is available now, and there will be more shows coming up that you can check out. And if you want to get the scoop on Red Ray Frazier and what he's up to, blogs, just background information, photos, upcoming events, how to reach out, you can go to redrayfrazier.com. That's redrayfrazier.com. redrayfrazier.com for all your listening and inquiring mind needs. So, Ray, when you were young, did you imagine that you were going to be a musician?
No.
What did you think you were going to
do? I fought a tooth and nail. I was into sports.
Oh, yeah? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I was an athlete. I ran track and played football. I played basketball. I thought I was going to be a pro football player. But I'm small. And those dudes are really big. But I did make it to the college level for a little while. I had a knee injury, and I had to stop playing pretty early, so I never even saw a regular season game. But nonetheless, music was definitely a part of my life growing up. I grew up around a lot of musicians and educators and writers, and my dad's a Baptist minister. He still is. He pastors.
And how did you get your start singing in the church?
I got my start singing in the living room with a musical family. That's what happens, you know. And you sing it at holidays and, you know, big dinners and stuff like that. You know, you roll back the carpet and you do dance steps and you do whatever types of performances. You know, if you decide that you want to. That you want to be a theater actor that day, you know, you'll have a soliloquy that you perform. But I guess in the major scheme of things, it was the church after all that put me in front of people that I kind of didn't know, but I kind of did, because, you know, church family,
right?
You know, that is probably the single most largest influence.
Now, you were in New York, and you ended up in Portland.
Yeah.
What made you decide Portland?
I had been to Portland a couple of times. I was a part of a tour. Specifically, why I ended up here in Portland is I finished a tour in 1998. I was on the Horde Festival tour with like Ben Harper and Blues Traveler, a bunch of those guys. Bare Naked Ladies was part of it, too. But the day after the tour, I met my now wife, who is from Portland.
I love that story.
Yeah, yeah. And I wish I could say it was a unique story, but the more people I meet that are transplants, all end up here because of that very reason.
Love, man.
Yeah,
It'll take you all the way across the country.
Conquers all.
For real.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. You know, so love brings you to Portland. Now, Portland is an interesting city to be an artist in. I'm curious, like, how has that felt? Like, having been all over and traveled, what's a Portland audience like for you? You're one of the best kept secrets in Portland, I read somewhere.
You know, that makes me feel really good. But at the same time, I wouldn't mind the secret getting out a little bit, you know. But, you know, it's one of those communities that you have to tell people not to help you. people want to genuinely help, you know, and especially if you believe in what you do, the audience is that much greater. I love being a native New Yorker, and there's no question, and I did pretty well for myself. I supported myself. I had record deals. I had done a ton of session work, been on a lot of other people's records. But still, there was this sense, like at every turn, and struggle makes things great.
Right.
But But you are constantly banging your head up against the wall.
Because the struggle isn't always, you know, pleasant.
It's not. It gets bloody.
Right.
And I kind of felt like it was less about the art anymore. It was more about just making ends meet.
Right.
When I got here, it felt like it was about the art again. And that is the draw. It continues to be, and I brag about it when I tell people what's going on and how people, you know, always want to collaborate and work together. It's really something that we should be proud of here.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned collaborations. Now, mm-hmm. talk a little bit about some of the collaborations you've done, because you've worked with so many people, like even just on a local level.
On a local level, you know, one of my favorites is Mike Crenshaw.
Yeah, we had him on the show, one of the first episodes.
Yeah, he's one of the first people I met in this town, and we continue to cultivate our relationship, friendship and working wise, professional. I was just in the studio with him last week. And he is working on the remix for the Blood and Water single.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Uh-huh. And I'm excited about a future collaboration with you.
Yes. Yeah. we're talking about something. We have a piece that we're contemplating. I think it's gonna work. I mean, this is, you know, now we're saying it on air, so y'all can like be like, so I heard y'all were doing that
together. That's right.
So you should hold us accountable. And the collaborations you've done in the past with Mike have all been wonderful. Like, obviously, some were through when he was with Sucker Punch,
yeah, uh-huh.
and then also when he did some of his indie work as well.
Absolutely.
And your work really bends and crosses a lot of genres. We're talking about collaborations, and so those are some collaborations. There's some other folks you've collaborated with that maybe people wouldn't expect.
Well, I mean, my first, if you want to call it, break into the music business, I mean, I was working with the guys from CNC Music Factory. I was in a group called the Brat Pack, and CNC Music Factory produced that.
Okay.
But you know, David Cole of CNC, he played in my dad's church. So you know, he was just a friend who was doing great things and heard something and wanted to further in our work relationship. I had a family group that was pretty cool to work with as well. My brother and two cousins, and we did some pretty extensive touring. We did Arsenio Hall. That was kind of funny.
That's amazing. I love that.
That was cool. I must admit, we did his show twice. He was a really nice guy too, and I think he would remember me if we met face to face again. more recently, though, I got to participate in David Byrne's band, mm-hmm. From the Talking Heads. I was on the road with him for 2 years, 2008 to 2010. That's a few people. I mean, I've definitely shared the stage with a lot of people. Blues Traveler, I think I mentioned them earlier. Mm-hmm. And I'm forgetting people, but... Yeah. You know,
I think I saw. Did I see Lenny Kravitz on that list?
Yeah. Well, we opened up for Lenny.
Yeah, okay.
We did. We grew up knowing a lot of the same people, and we've had a lot of similar influences growing up too. So that felt really natural.
Yeah. Who would you say are some of your biggest influences?
Well, you know, I would say Otis Redding, Nina Simone, James Brown. The Beatles, Jackson 5, you know, it's kind of nice growing up in a musical family. You get everything, you know, from your older cousins and siblings and aunts and uncles.
Yeah, that I have an uncle who plays bass, and so he was 10 years older than me. And so as I was growing up, he was always hipping me to all good music. Like, because whatever was coming out, like, you know, hip-hop was, you know, being birthed, and he was giving me that, or like Prince, you know,
yeah,
Dirty
yeah.
Mind, you know, like the first, like uh-huh. when Prince first hit, he was yeah. like, you got to check this out.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that too. And, you know, still to this day, I mean, nothing, I mean, I think, you know, naturally Prince is fantastic, but, you know, those early records when I was introduced to him, those have made the most impression on me, mm-hmm. you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the collections that the family has that are just part of the soundtracks of our lives, right?
Dig it.
So speaking of music,
uh-huh.
will you play a little something for us?
Yeah, gladly. So I'm going to play something that's not on the record.
All right. I like that.
How about that? I think this will be, I'll do Living by Your Fire.
My one and my only desire. desire.
Red Ray Frazier here in the studio at KBOO Portland. You are tuned in to Poetic License, and I'm your host, Tria Autry. So glad to be here. I feel like the luckiest person right now. I get to have like a concert of one. Well, there's two because Liam's here too. So I'm just saying this is a very special moment. My life is like really good right now. That's a beautiful song.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I think all of you out there listening, whether you're listening right now as we're live or if you check this out later, you need some more Red Ray Frazier in your life. And so you can check him out on the 13th of November at the Secret Society Ballroom. You can check him out at Biddy's, also in Portland, Oregon, with an acoustic trio. That's on the 14th. 6 to 8. I'm just saying,
you know,
Laurelhurst, there are places you need to to go support.
That, you know what, and that speaks volumes about this town again. You can present what it is you do in different ways, and there are outlets for it. I just want to talk about the Biddy's thing for just a moment.
Please. Tell us about that.
So it's pretty cool. My drummer and I, Ezra. He also plays acoustic guitar, and you've seen us perform live. So he does a lot of harmonies with me when we're performing. So we decided that we wanted to do a real stripped down version of some of the songs that we do or work on play some things that we've been working on to try and work out a few different things within those songs. So we decided to start playing Happy Hours at Biddy's.
Okay.
After our first set, our first performance there, a gentleman comes up to me, and asked if we need any drums, for this particular gig. Mm-hmm. He was digging what he heard and he said he'd love to play with us. So, we exchanged phone numbers and we started talking like a week later. We started kind of peeling some layers, and he asked me about my last name and asked me if I had any family out here, and I told him no, at least not to my knowledge. And he was like, all right, cool. Next conversation. You know, my father was telling me that we have some Frazers in our family that are out here. And I was like, man, I don't think so, you know.
Yeah, like, what are the chances?
Yeah, so by the third conversation, you know, I figured, you know, I would have some answers for him. Well, I talked to my father, and you know, I asked if we had any family out west, and he was like, well, no, but you know, your grandfather, he had a half brother, and he moved out to Arkansas, and so I went back and told Terrence this, and he goes, well, you know what, that's where the Fraziers that are out here are from.
That is so funny.
Yeah, so. It's been, that has been like one of the shining moments, playing this little, you know, happy hour gig, but getting to do it with the only family member that I have out here.
Right, that you didn't even realize was your family.
I didn't even realize it, yeah. It's crazy, yeah.
That's Portland. It's not 6 degrees of separation here. It's much, much smaller number.
Absolutely.
You know, once you know a couple people, you know a lot of the town, and that's beautiful to like find family.
Yeah.
Like, just in out of the blue. But I feel like there's also this way that we're really in the places where we're supposed to be at the right time.
I agree.
If we pay attention and do things. That happened to me the other day. I'm at the bus stop, you know, I'm back in Portland, and I'm like, okay, let me go get chai. I like to drink chai tea from the various places that I happen to like their chai tea, which tends to mean they have almond milk. It's very particular. So I happened into this one place, and lo and behold, there's, you know, my friend Elijah Hassan, a local filmmaker, or, you know, just in my different travels, just being here a week, not quite a week,
mm-hmm.
like all the people that I've ran into just by saying, you know, something's telling me to walk down this street or to stop in here. So I think we have to pay attention to those.
It's, you know, it's greater than us. You know?
For sure. Definitely. Now, after you do this run of shows here in Portland, mm-hmm. you're actually heading to the French West Indies.
Yeah.
Now, talk a little bit about that, because you were telling me that this is a trip you do regularly.
It is a trip I do regularly. There's this little bar on the island of St. Bart, and it's called the Baz Bar. The club owner used to pull from New York City clubs, and when I first started doing it, it was because the relationship I had with certain musicians that had played there, and the club owner got his hands on some of my music. So about 9 or 10 years ago, I was asked to go to St. Bart and perform. And this residency there was about a month long, six nights a week, doing 2 90-minute sets.
Wow.
And it's in paradise. So you never quite know who you're going to meet at this club. I mean, it's small, it's open air, but apparently it's a spot where touring musicians just kind of happen through. I can the first time I played there, and I didn't really grow up listening to the Cars, but Rick Ocasek from the Cars was sitting right in front of us. Who else? LL Cool J has been there, in the room, been in the bar while we were playing. You just never know who's going to be
Lots
there.
Lots of people want to visit Paradise.
Absolutely, and it's one of those spots. They make great sushi,
nice.
And they have a good sound system, so we play there.
Okay, so I'm going to need you to just enjoy it a little extra for all of us who are going to be here in Portland.
Yeah,
without the oasis of the beach and
it's
the warm weather.
It's the perfect
weather.
Time of year to be there.
And I am so happy for you getting to be there.
Thank you.
I really am. I think a lot of times people want to, especially with social networking, we want to compare ourselves. They're like, oh, that person's done this and I'm not doing this, or I've done this and they haven't done that. And I think there's something to be said about just feeling joy for everyone else's success.
So absolutely.
I feel so much joy for your success.
Thank you.
And I'm really happy to be able to sit down with you. Now, speaking of sitting down with you, if you could pull any random musicians, artists from the past and have coffee with them or have dinner and chat with them, who might be on your guest list?
Let's see. I think Little Richard, maybe. Probably Sammy Davis Jr. John Coltrane, Nina Simone,
mm-hmm.
Maybe Big Mama Thornton.
Wow, that would be like a party right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Those are good choices. So, speaking of music, let's hear some more of this new CD, Blood in the Water. We're going to play the second track, Follow Me.
Every time somebody gets married, they say, sing at last. Follow me through the darkness.
summer's day. I know, 'cause you made some too. But put your pride aside, don't you worry no more about it, baby. Follow me and I'm gonna lead you home. Yeah, I know the love can sometimes get a little heavy. Follow me and I'm gonna lead you home. I know the love can sometimes break you down, man. Follow me.
You are listening to new music by Red Ray Frazier. That was the song Follow Me. And now, your first solo debut was also titled Follow Me. Now, there was some metamorphosis that happened with the song. Talk a little about the process. And
well, the first time around with Follow Me in particular, it was more about being in a room. More the MIDI process, if you will. I worked on the track with Keith Schreiner, mm-hmm. Auditory Sculpture, and he provided the electronic vibe for that. But I always felt like this particular song was more organic, and it had more of a feel for live instrumentation. That was the vibe behind this particular song, was to make it breathe with live drums, and I wanted to be able to actually hear, fingers striking the strings, you know, right. Just give it as live a feel as possible. But in general, there are so many different ways that to attack a song. Sometimes it stems from a phrase. You, as a poet, you know,
right.
Something just sounds right when it's coming off of your tongue, and you repeat it, and it feels like something, and it has a cadence to it, and it inspires a beat, and with a beat, always comes a bass line.
Yeah.
So, I think being a soulful musician, coming from gospel roots, that beat, that syncopation is very important. So, no matter what it is that you're trying to say, it always falls on the beat of something, and I think that's probably what drives my songwriting more than anything else. There's always an emotion behind it, a tone, but if I kind of feel like if you can't express it without that beat, then it usually turns into something else.
Now, do you usually write the lyrics first? Do you usually come up with like the chord progressions first? Like, is it a little both?
It is a bit of the two. Definitely, the words, maybe the words of a chorus, or maybe an opening line of a verse, but it's no more than one or two lines before I start thinking about maybe the progressions, the musical progressions.
Nice. And now, what is the most recent song that you wrote that's on the new?
The most recent one is. If You Let Me. Yes, If You Let Me is the most recent one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I am excited that I have my copy, and I hope that everyone else out there will support. You know, it's not, it is about supporting local artists. Yes, it is about that. And it's also about supporting quality artists, period. So you should get out there and support. And so I'm going to remind you, in case you didn't hear earlier, that you can check out Red Ray Frazier at Secret Society Ballroom. That's going to be November 13th. And you can also check him out at Biddy's with the acoustic trio, which he was speaking a little bit about the dynamics of bringing that kind of medley together, which absolutely. I'm excited about. So that's on the 14th at Biddy's. And then at Laurel Thirst on the 21st. If you want to get more information, you can go to redrayfrazier.com. That's redrayfrazier.com. And get even more information than that.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook and Instagram on Red Ray Frazier as well, so it's pretty easy to find me.
Yeah, he you know, even though he's the best kept secret, it's not because he's trying to be. He's out there. Like, he's not hiding. You should go check him out.
Yeah.
So now, other than, you know, I'm in the process of putting an album together, there's a lot of time devoted to, like, you know, listening, re-listening, tweaking. Now, what and who has been that thing you've maybe been listening to on the side? Like, who's sparking your interest these days?
I've been digging Sun Little quite a bit. Sun Little is, he's a guy I used to work with The Roots, and he did some work with RJD2. It kind of feels like we have some similar influences. He's got a blues based thing, but he's real cool. Liam Bailey is also very cool. He's a Brit living in Brooklyn. He does some cool stuff. I love Alabama Shakes.
Nice.
So.
And can we get another song while you're sitting here?
Oh yeah,
in the
sure,
studio?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm acting all shy about asking you. I mean, it's what I brought you here for, is like to play music. But at the same time, it's like, thank you, Red Ray, for playing
this
music.
This is my
for poetic
pleasure,
license.
Taria. My pleasure. Yeah, absolutely. This next song, I'm pretty sure you've heard me do it before. This one's called "Knocking on Your Door," and this is from my first solo CD. So. We'll give this one a whirl.
Thank you.
Sent these walls and doors ain't thick enough to keep me out when I can't get enough. Stand in the middle of my wants and needs. Do like blood, but someone gonna bleed. With my soul's in need of it. With my soul's in need of it. With my soul's in need of it. It's me knocking on your door. It's me knocking on your door. Knocking on your door, yeah. I'm not sure this thing got started, but I remember when this whole thing changed. I'm not trying to die before I live. Damn sure don't care what you got to say. Faster and faster, living on the run. Words are my problem and there ain't no solution. I'm standing in the middle of my wants and needs. Through like blood, but someone gonna bleed. With my soul's in need of it. With my soul's in need of it. With my soul's in need of it. Be knocking on your door. Knocking on your door. It's me knocking on your door. Yeah.
father used to say, no matter far go, I can never get far enough away. Sometimes my head is hard like wood. More times than not, it ain't up to no good. Knocking on your door. With my soul's in need of it. With my soul's in need. With my soul's in need of it. Be knocking on your door. Be knocking on your door. Be knocking on your door. That knock on your door will be me.
You are tuned into Poetic License, KBOO Portland, here in studio with Red Ray Frazier and another beautiful live song. So we talked a little bit about some of your musical inspirations and, you know, who you're listening to now. But outside of the realm of music, what are some of the things you go to for inspiration?
Oh, you know, you know, walking, taking in the sights and sounds. I mean, there's always a ton of inspiration all around you at any given time. So, you know, sitting in a cafe, listening to not necessarily eavesdropping, but
but we might be eavesdropping.
But you know, a little bit. Be careful of what you say. It might end up in a song. You know. but yeah, just you know, some of the. You know, naturally, you know, there's a lot of social injustices that are around us right now. And if sometimes, you know, the biggest outlet is to talk about it. And sometimes it comes out in song. Sometimes it comes out in a conversation over coffee, you know.
Right.
But whatever way it comes out, it's a good way, you know. So, I mean, that. I think anyone that's creative can be inspired, good, bad, or indifferent, by what's going on today.
Very true.
Yeah.
There's so much going on. And I go back and forth because I feel like now there's also a part of me that's, I wouldn't say avoiding because I'm always aware of what's going on in the world around me, but really carving out space where that's not in my, always in my present tense and purview, because I think there are those times too when you have to just step back from the madness of the world and just kind of focus inward a little bit. And a lot of that can be really distracting from self need and self-care, you know.
I couldn't agree more. But in the same token, that energy, that urgency finds a way to push you to do something maybe
Absolutely.
That you wouldn't have done. So
yeah, it's the finding the balance.
Indeed. You know?
Definitely. And, you know, we have to take care of ourselves as people who are creating and giving of ourselves to the audience and make sure that we're taking care of us. So be sure to take care of yourself while you're basking in the sun on the islands and whatnot.
It's a lot of hard work involved, let me tell you.
No, I can only imagine. Well, what did you say? 2 90-minute sets or something?
Yeah, 2 90-minute sets.
Yeah, that's hard work. And I'm not even being sarcastic in saying that. That's serious.
It is very serious. I mean, you know, there's as the primary vocalist, that's a lot of singing, 6 nights in a
Definitely.
Row.
Definitely.
And for a couple of weeks, it takes its toll on you. So
yeah. So take care of yourself and have a really great time. We're going to be heading out soon. It's almost that time, but I want to remind everyone that the first Monday of every month at 10 o'clock p.m., you can tune in to Poetic License. In December, I will also be in the studio. It's We'll see who our guest is. I have a couple people in the wings, and I'm going to see who confirms first. But it'll be somebody fabulous, because that's what I always do on the show, is I bring you fabulousness, because there's so much of it, and I'm really excited to be able to share. And Red Ray, I just want to thank you so much.
Thank you, Taria. It's been an absolute pleasure. I appreciate you having me on your show. And I'm so glad you're back in town.
Yeah, it's good to be back, even though I have my moments. I do really love being here and seeing everyone. The thing that I love most are the people here, is what I love most about the city. You know, the weather, I could take it or leave it, although the summer is quite lovely.
Summer just ended like a week and a half ago.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm adjusting. I had to get like sweaters and coats and things. And I might have a little attitude about that. But, you know, seeing all of you brings me joy, being able to be in the studio and bring you the great musical stylings of Red Ray Frazier also brings me joy. Working with Liam beyond just an email and a Dropbox file and phone calls is a pleasure. It's so good to see you. And we will be back the first Monday of December with another great and special guest. We are going to take out the show tonight with a classic song, At Last, by Etta James.
Every time somebody gets married, they say, sing At Last. I found a dream. I found a dream that I could speak to. A dream that
is 11 p.m.
Is that okay?
This is the weatherman of Negative Land speaking to you on the Electro Voice DL42 shotgun dynamic microphone. Just reminding you that you're tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland.
The time is 11 p.m.
Is that okay?
And you are tuned to the Ubu Hour.
Radio Theater!
A warning to all listeners. The following program may contain profanity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Fuck me.
Listener discretion is advised.
I can't believe I'm going to die in this place.
And you turn to KBOO, Portland.